Good afternoon, Greg.
Wow, you talked about me with me not there. That's the ultimate. I love that.
Well, we were reading off some of the titles of some recent podcasts.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, the Jeff Nick and Rosendahl Vanity Project, that's one. But yes, I do know if we're on iHeart. Around the NFL and iHeart have some sort of deal. This is, you know, corporate synergy at its best, Aaron. That's what I really love about my job.
Now, what about the alter ego? Is that one on iHeart as well?
I don't know. Well, I mean, it's not. I think you could probably find it anywhere you get podcasts, of course.
Okay. Should I read some of these descriptions from some recent podcasts?
I don't think it's necessary, but it's up to you. You know, if you wanna treat your listeners to that, that's great. I mean, it's more pub.
A man tosses his penis out of a window during a police car chase. How did that one end?
Yeah, yeah, that was fun. There's a lot of dismemberment stories. I feel like, you know, Anthony really is my co-host, Anthony Jeffnick, who's a stand-up, and we get, you know, he gets like an assortment of stories to choose from each week, and yeah, he tends to go with a lot of dismemberment. I would say that's a big one, like decapitation. That's one of the categories definitely that we hit over and over. It feels like.
I'm not even going to ask about the USB cord and where that one got stuck. All right. So he's a man of many talents. He's Greg Rosendahl of the NFL Network, which is why he's invited on a sports show. I want to play a little bit of audio. We haven't yet played this for the audience, Greg, if you don't mind. Just bear with us here. Hopefully you can hear it okay. But the Rams over the weekend beat the Jacksonville Jaguars. And Cooper Kupp, who's leading the NFL in several categories for wide receivers, was asked a question about a touchdown reception that he had. Here is the answer, the question, and the answer that he gave over the weekend.
Touchdown specifically, your defender went and blitzed. What did you see there? How were you able to use that to your advantage?
Yeah, they had a little three deep fire zone, brought the nickel off the edge, safety dropped down. It didn't look like they were doing a replacement fire zone, so I knew at the back away we were going to get three pushing through. I had an opportunity to kind of run in there if I could beat my guy, and just had to beat the safety to the end zone.
Now, everybody in this audience knows that I'm never going to be able to explain that, but Greg Rosendahl is a really smart NFL guy, and he's going to explain that to everybody. How much of what Cooper Kupp said in this exchange can you translate for us and for this audience?
Oh, none of it. Fire zone. I guess I kind of know what a fire zone is. You know, you play zone behind, like, sending a blitz. So that's something. But shout out to Bridget Condon, you know, brand new NFL Network reporter who asked that question and is very nice around the newsroom. It's nice to be back in the office and to meet new employees like that. I love Cooper Kupp's answer because it was just like, you know, you always want your teachers to like think that the students are smart, and like the respect he was giving us as listeners that anyone would understand any of that was a lot. You know, he thought we were smart enough to handle it.
Right. And clearly, I mean, like I said, I'm not at all. That is so far out of my depth. But you're an NFL Network guy. You work around the NFL Network. So, if anybody's going to be able to make sense of that, it's going to be Greg Rosendahl.
No, I like covering football, but I do like to remind people often that like this is a very hard thing to understand. And until you admit that, then that's like the first step in even trying to understand it. You cannot pretend you have all the answers unless you are like a former coach and stuff. But even I've heard Sean McVay talk about that clip, and he thought it was hilarious, and he thought it was so smart, and he's like, that's how Cooper Kupp was. You know, when he first came to the Rams, it's not like every receiver is giving that answer. That answer was a great one because it revealed a lot about Cooper Kupp. You know, that is a big reason why Cooper Kupp, you know, is who he is and might win the offensive player of the year this year. And so like there aren't many other Cooper Kupps out there either.
And it also makes me think that answer could have come from Sean McVay as well, right? Like that's an answer that
right.
We could have had from that head coach. That must be why there's such a good dynamic between that player in particular and that coaching staff.
Yes, and yet Sean McVay was very quick to point out, like, all that was there before he was there and try basically saying he loved that because Cooper Kupp sees the game from, you know, the wide receiver, I mean, the quarterback's perspective, which is the position, you know, that McVay played too back in the day. But, like, you know, there's Sean McVay is trying to impart everything he knows to all of his receivers, but not many necessarily can see the game like that in the moment. And that is very often. I know you don't only just cover football, but you know, it's like very often the great players are the smartest players too. Like when it comes to like understanding the game. And I think Cooper Kupp, like, he reminded me of Randy Moss talking there. Like when Bill Belichick would talk about Randy Moss, and when you really get Randy Moss talking about coverages and stuff like that, you know, Belichick always said he was the smartest, you know, receiver he ever covered. And it's guys, I think, who somehow can just like have all the stuff the quarterback has in his head, and it's in their head. And that's just, that's pretty rare.
It's such a great point, Greg. I remember when the Niners were in the Super Bowl in New Orleans. You may have been there covering that as well. And I remember, because Moss didn't talk a lot to media while he was a player. You know, it was pretty rare. Sometimes he'd stand up there post-game, give a couple of answers or what have you. But he was at the podium with the Niners in the Super Bowl, and he was talking about the spin on the football from Kaepernick compared to Alex Smith. And it was mesmerizing stuff. And it was a side of Randy Moss that we just didn't get a lot of during his playing days. And it also reminded me what you just said there about Belichick. Of the NFL Network Football Life on Belichick, where he and Jimmy Johnson are out there on the fishing boat, and the two of them agree on one thing. Don't bring dumb players into your team, because dumb players are going to sink it every time.
I think it's so important in the NFL. I think the average NFL player is so smart. You know, it's like, I just think it's a tough job. Obviously, there's guys who are just so talented, and different positions absolutely require, you know, different skill sets. But in general, you know, it's a different type of intelligence, and it's certainly like, you know, it's a certain sort of football intelligence too. But like the guys who really understand and know the game have such an advantage. I mean, that is literally, you know, that's why Tom Brady is who he is at 44. I know all the dieting and staying young thing helps, but he doesn't get to be Tom Brady without like that mind for the game. That's what separates guys.
Greg Rosenthal of the NFL Network and NFL.com is joining us on Extra 1360. Speaking of Belichick, now we've had a day to not be hyperbolic about Monday night. What did you think of the approach from the Patriots offensively? There's a lot of different ways that you could peel this one. Some would say, well, this is just playing to the conditions. Some would say this is a lack of trust in a quarterback. What does Greg Rosenthal think about how the Patriots approach Monday?
The lack of trusting is really silly. I mean, just look at the Patriots game plans this season. You know, he threw it 41 times in the rain against the Buccaneers. That was week four as a rookie. Look at last week. He must have thrown a 35 times because they couldn't run it against Tennessee. They'll do whatever, you know, they think is a good idea. And I think the reason it got so comically low was they basically weren't going to do it against the wind. I didn't think they, you know, if they could avoid it, they probably just didn't think that was worth it or smart in general. And then they got that early lead, and I think they looked at the way the game was developing and their defense, and I just don't think they felt like they needed to. I think if they were trailing in that game, or if they didn't pop that early touchdown, or if Buffalo was moving the ball better, they would have changed their game plan. But I think they were trying to get to the end of that game, and I think they saw it was pretty much working until it didn't. I mean, in the fourth quarter, they ran for negative 10 yards, and, you know, they just kept giving the ball back over and over. And I don't think that's why it was a coincidence. That's where they threw a couple passes, and I think they probably would have started to change what they were doing once it wasn't working anymore. But for three quarters, it was working.
Yeah, of course. And I realize media, cannibalizing media, is sort of a weird thing, weird dynamic in 2021, but it happens. Any thoughts, Greg, on the exchange afterwards from a couple of the Bills defensive players, a member of the local media there, asking whether or not the box score was embarrassing? You saw that. We all saw it.
Yeah, that is a tough question. I'm surprised when people are like reading into their answer that like they're touchy or anything other than just like they're competitors. Someone asks you that to your face. I don't hate him asking that necessarily. If he wanted to ask it, but I also don't mind them. That's the response you want, you know, right? If you're a Bills, I mean, that's the response you would expect from two great players. They aren't going to take that without taking it personally, because that's, you know, they tried to do their job. They were not really ready for it the first two or three quarters, and they know it. You know, it's like that was a big loss.
If he had said frustrating instead of embarrassing, that probably we're not sitting here talking about it.
Right, exactly. And that's why I also like it. You have to expect a response like that as a pretty strong possibility if you ask that question to me. And that's fine. Like they're all grown men that, you know, no one got killed here. It was okay. we'll be fine. We'll be fine.
Was it embarrassing though? I mean, just us girls talking?
I don't think so. I don't know. Like it exposed the weakness, but I got the point that he was making, which was like they gave up that one big run. And what did they give up otherwise? A field goal in 10 drives. It's not like the Patriots lit it up. They had, you know, less yards than the Bills. It is embarrassing in the manner like in which it was starting, but for the most part, if you take that one run out, you know, and that'll happen. The Patriots have a great running game and the Bills have not had a great defense. It's like they played pretty well. They gave up three other points in the other nine drives. So I sort of get where he's coming from too.
Greg Rosenthal, NFL Network, joining us on Extra 1360. On one side of the scale, you have the quarterbacks who have previously won Super Bowls, right? Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson, Ben Roethlisberger. On the other side, you have every other quarterback in the NFL. As of this moment, which group would you pick to be the Super Bowl winner this year? The smaller group with all of the rings or the larger group who hasn't yet completed for one Super Bowl? And Wentz is sort of in the middle of this. I don't know where you want to include him in that, but if you want him from the other side, you can have him.
No, you would not want to include Wentz in it. I mean, he doesn't get credit for that. I'm sorry.
Right, I agree. I
would take the one with the rings just because of the teams that they represent, you know, that they represent the Packers, the Bucks, and the Chiefs. So if you're giving me those three teams, for instance, and it's kind of a random assortment, but I kind of like those three teams versus the field. I think the Chiefs have a great opportunity, you know, in the AFC, and those would be two of my, you know, three favorite teams or most likely teams in the NFC. So between the three of them, I think you got a pretty good shot.
Yeah, it's sort of hard to make the case for some of those also-rans at this point, right?
Well, it also, you know, I guess it's just a number thing. If I'm a Patriots fan, I should be seeing that they have a great chance. I think the Cardinals, you know, have a great chance. I think they would love to get that number one seed. And they've been kind of the most complete team. But this, I guess it's this Packers and Bucks, those two teams, I think, have to be really happy about where they are right now. And there's reason to think they could get even better. And I think they might have the best two quarterbacks right now. So I like that two pick.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I wonder how much time I'm going to spend talking about, like, for instance, tomorrow night on the NFL Network and on Fox, Steelers and Vikings. How much, you know, like should I be investing a lot of my time in the 6-5-1 Steelers or the 5-7 Vikings? It's an interesting game for different reasons, right? The Vikings are just hanging on by a thread, and Pittsburgh's trying to squeeze every last drop out of Ben Roethlisberger at this point. So it's not that it's not an intriguing game that people shouldn't gravitate towards and watch on television, but in terms of what you and I are spending time talking about here, it doesn't feel like it's part of the conversation.
That's true. I mean, it depends what you like, what, you know, when you watch sports. We talk about this on our podcast a lot because one of my co-hosts, Mark, is kind of like you. Like, once he determines that a team has no chance to win the Super Bowl, he doesn't want to invest his time anymore. And we can't do that because we preview every game every week. We recap every game every week. So it's like he doesn't have the choice, but it's just, I understand that. But, like, I just like, you know, Kirk Cousins, Ben Roethlisberger in his final season, they're both like these flaws. You know, this Vikings team to me has been extremely entertaining, and they're probably one of my favorite teams to watch, and yet they're 5-7. But, like, them being 5-7 is partly why they've been fun to watch. Every game is absolutely insane.
Does it look like a 5-7 to you when you start rattling off some of those pieces, though? It should be better than this, right?
And their, like, analytical profile is that of, like, a top-10 team. They do have some pretty big injuries right now, Adam Thielen being a new one, and that's huge for them. But, no, they should have a better record, and it's just been these insane endings to all their games. Very often where they look like the better team for most of it, and then something crazy happens, which is, you know, good theater, unless you're like a Vikings fan.
Right. And there's, for whatever reason, Vikings fans pop up on the timeline on Sundays on a regular basis. I can't quite figure
out. There's
a
lot of them. They're a great, they are, you know, I feel like I, after doing this as long as in this specific job, I feel like I should do a fan base rankings, but I feel like the Vikings would rank like very high, like very near the top in overall quality. I like the Vikings.
Haven't you done that ranking before, or was that just the team's Twitter?
Maybe back in the day, one of my co-hosts did a pain ranking, which was interesting, which was more like ranking which fan bases have had the most pain. I don't know if I've ever done that. I've done some like most annoying fan bases on Twitter.
That's it.
Of which the Patriots, my fan base is one of them.
Right. Which fan base would have the most pain? I mean, that's got to be Detroit, right?
I think so. I mean, the Jets are in there. The Bengals are.
But the Jets fans sign up for that stuff. Sorry. You know, there's something wrong with the wiring of somebody who on purpose picks the second most important team in a market.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I can't really disagree, knowing a lot of Jets fans.
Yeah, I know a lot of them as well. I mean, I'm from that part of the world. All right, my last question. I saw that Jamal Adams of the Seahawks is being placed on season-ending injured reserve today. I do see, Greg, a lot of Seahawks fans, a lot of people who pay attention to Seattle, seem to point to the Jamal Adams trade as the beginning of the end for Seattle. Is it that simple? I mean, is he really carrying that much weight with him?
No, I don't think so. I think it was a sign of the end, though, coming. But I think, like, if it was ending either way, I don't think the Jamal Adams trade, you know, is the deal breaker here, other than they're in even bigger trouble than they would have been going into next year without that number one pick. It's just, it's crazy. But he helped their team, you know, win 12 games last year. He was a factor. It was just making a lot of moves like that Jamal Adams trade, and something between this coach and this quarterback that it's just clearly not right. And it's like, one's got to go. It just doesn't work like that. I don't think your coach and your quarterback are at odds, and it's all professional and all this, but it doesn't seem like it's been something that's been good for a couple of years now.
Who goes?
I mean, I would say the coach goes, the decision maker goes. He has as much power as any coach in the NFL, I would argue, along with Bill Belichick. I would say less than Bill Belichick, because he's sort of almost acted as an owner since Paul Allen died. I think that was 2-3 years ago. And there's just a question of sort of who is going to make that decision? Is someone going to make that decision? And I don't think anyone really has a very good feel on what's going on there. I'm not sure if Pete Carroll does either, to be honest.
Hmm. What would you do, by the way, if it was a Patriots and Bucks Super Bowl?
I wouldn't be happy. I mean, the takes, everything about it just seems stressful. It's like I'm a Patriots fan, but it's like when Venus and Serena played each other in the Grand Slam final. It's like, it's awkward. You know? I feel like it's awkward.
Right. So you're saying at the end of it, no matter what, you would cry.
I hope not. I don't think so. I don't think I would.
Remember when Venus beat Serena the first time in a Grand Slam final and poor Serena just broke down in tears?
I don't remember that, but that is, it's like, it is crazy. I guess they're on my mind because I saw that HBO movie. I feel like they could do another movie. It's just like the craziest story.
How was that, by the way? I haven't seen it yet.
It was good. I recommend people see it. You know, it's like a family sports movie. And for what that is, I think it was like a really good version of it. And I've talked to a lot of people that really enjoyed it, too.
Yeah, because I saw, you know, the takes were out there that, you know, how could this be about the dad? But I guess that was with the full blessing of the girls. Is that they really wanted this to be about the dad.
I'm like a tennis, you know, that's my like sport I enjoy following the most, especially women's tennis. And that's just from people who just don't understand the tennis of it all, their story of it all. And that's fine. It was a great movie. They could make, like I said, they could make another one about their, you know, the later parts of their life. But this was like a specific story leading into them becoming pros, which, it's surprising, and it was good. It was a good sort of like old school sports type movie.
Good. I'm looking forward to it. Do you watch Drive to Survive on Netflix?
I did start it. I have to admit I didn't finish it, and yet I really liked it while I did, and somehow never picked it back up. I should.
Okay. Well, we can talk about that next time. I'm only four episodes in from the first season, so I'm just getting into it.
That's about what I did too. It's been great for F1.
This has been a fun conversation, Greg. Have you enjoyed this? Have you enjoyed this today?
This has been fun. This has been a good one.
All right. Well, we just try to hold up to high standards. Your high standards. Thank you for doing this.
Thanks, Darren.
See ya. Greg Rosenthal, everybody, the NFL Network. He's got a bunch of different podcasts, and if you just want to hear a bunch of football talk, he has the Around the NFL podcast. If you want to hear about dismembership, you can find a different podcast that Greg Rosenthal's associated with, and you can find out what happened to that penis.
I want to know what happens in the UPS cord.
The USB cord.
USB cord, sorry.
Yes. UPS. It got stuck in a place I wouldn't want a USB cord stuck.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I can only imagine.
Can you? Because I can't.
It seems like they talk a lot about penises.
Yes. That seems to be the name of the show. It's like their default subject. It's like us of sports.
Right.
That podcast, they're talking about that.
When in doubt.
Yes. Break it out. See what's going on. Just Google that type of story and
see
where it takes you. Hey, don't blame me. This is his podcast.
Okay.
That's your guy, Greg Rosenthal. He didn't book himself, Marty. You booked him.
Your guy, Marty.
Yeah, I thought we were gonna, preview all the great games in Week 14.
Preview the great games. I gave you some Steelers and Vikings.
Isn't that what you like to do?
Break it down with your
NFL guests.
I gave him an opportunity to break it down.
She wanted you to ask about the Lions and Jared Goff and their first win.
There's some important games this weekend.
I mentioned it. Steelers and Vikings tomorrow. It's NFL Network.
NFC East. I mean,
Marty,
Washington's
I don't have time
right
to get to all of them.
Raiders at Chiefs, Ravens and Browns. I mean, someone has to win the AFC North.
But as Rosenthal just said, some of us are like, listen, I don't want to invest a bunch of time talking about one of these also-rans.
49ers and Bengals.
I got to focus on the top. I don't have time for these middle of the pack.
So he only has time for he just needs the elite of the elite. Not just the in the hunt.
That's not him. He said I'm like his around the NFL host.
He has time for Bucks and Packers.
Yeah. I think tomorrow's interesting, but for different reasons for the two teams. But probably not a lot of Niners Bengals on the mind today. Sorry.
That's a pretty big game.
Sorry, Tim.
It's okay.
Is it a good game?
The Niners?
They're both in it. They're both in the hunt.
How about the Niners being favored in that game? In Cincinnati, by the way.
That's a stinky fish.
That is some stinky fish. Yeah, maybe the Lions can make it two in a row against the Broncos.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Marty will be selling these games coming up on tomorrow's show. When we return, though, time for Marty's NFL Notes.